There's an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's an important article. It's titled, No Gods, No Masters. It's by Bob Perry. And it's on the life and teachings of Margaret Sanger, the Christian Research Journal's Philosophers series is what this article is all about. And what that means, in essence, is ideas have consequences. And suffice it to say, the consequences of Margaret Sanger's ideas are with us yet today. So if you ever wonder what difference one person can make, think Margaret Sanger. She was the founder of Planned Parenthood. She coined the phrase birth control. She defended infanticide in China as an earlier stage in the evolution of birth control. She deplored the arrogance of missionaries who tried to stop the Chinese from drowning their children because she believed it would only lead to future food shortages. She was a promoter of eugenics. She said the moron and the diseased would have no posterity to inherit their unhappy condition if they were sterilized. And of course, that's what eugenics was all about. You find the unfit. You find those with less fit genes, and you isolate them in institutions or you sterilize them. That way they can't infect the fit with their less fit genes. You ever wonder about ideas having consequences? The evolutionary paradigm led inexorably to the notion of eugenics. And H.G. Wells was right when he described Sanger as the greatest woman in the world. Why? Because from his perspective, at least, she would become the most influential of all time, and she would control man's destiny on earth. And in some way, 100 years later, we can see the reality of that in Planned Parenthood. The author of the article now joins us. His name, Bob Perry. He is a contributor to the Christian Research Journal, also a speaker with the Life Training Institute. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm very intrigued by the title to your article, No Gods, No Masters. What was Margaret Sanger driving at there?
Well, as I talk about it in the article, Margaret Sanger grew up with a very kind of, the only word I could use is bizarre, childhood. Her father was a left-wing anarchist. She describes issues she had with him as a child that she remembers in a sexual way. He actually, one of his sons died. He dug the boy up to make a cast of his head and shoulders to present to his mother to remember him. And so she had a very negative view of religion because she got that from her father. And that developed later on in her life into the idea that she not only was God not her father, but no man would be her father. She had a very negative view toward men, as I said. And she took that slogan, that's actually a slogan that I used as a title for the article, from the International Workers of the World, which was an anarchist socialist labor group back in the early 1900s, because she thought that that slogan would be a rallying cry for the programs that she wanted to put in place that led to Planned Parenthood and all the things that you just described.
Some would say that she resisted abortion and championed birth control. What's the story behind the story?
Well, that's an interesting point. She sometimes, when if you do a Google search on Margaret Sanger, you will find people who defend her because she was looking out for the plight of poor women. And that she was actually against abortion, so she shouldn't be held responsible for the fact that Planned Parenthood has turned it into that in more modern times. But the reason they say that, and it does seem that she was against abortion, in 1916, earlier in her career, she said that contraception was good because abortion was the wrong way, No matter how early it was performed, it was the taking of life. That contraception was a better way because life had not yet begun. And she went on to say years later that the hundreds of thousands of abortions performed in America were a disgrace to civilization. So she did seem to have a problem with the idea of abortion, but what those who quote those the quotes I just gave you, what they don't tell you is in the very next sentence of that last quote, Sanger wrote, "In plain everyday language, in an abortion, there is always a serious risk to the health and often to the life of the patient." So what Sanger was really focusing on was the consequences that the mother would have to undergo if the baby survived. And so even if she did, and it does, in fairness, you know, in charity, she does seem to have had a problem with abortion, but that gets trumped by her consequentialist ethic that is the thrust of this article is about, that she was more concerned with the outcomes of things than she was with the actual moral status of the issue she was talking about.
Yeah, let's hit that for a second. She did champion desirable outcomes over moral imperatives, and sometimes we can fall into that trap even when we're arguing against abortion.
Exactly. And that was a point that I wanted to make near the end of the article, that we as pro-life Christians can be lulled into this, and we have several examples of it. Some of my colleagues in the Life Training Institute in debates have had people say that we should stop abortion because we could have, through abortion, killed the doctor who would have cured cancer. During the 08 election cycle, CatholicVote.org ran a television ad that was very popular and very successful, talking about President Obama. It talked about he came from a broken home, an abandoned father. His mother struggled to raise him, yet he became the first African-American president. And the tagline of the ad was, "Imagine the potential." So Catholic, you know, the CatholicVote.org is a very pro-life organization, but instead of focusing on the immorality of abortion itself, they're arguing that we should be careful about who we abort because it could be a good outcome. Well, it could also be a serial killer. So that's not, I don't think that's the focus that we should have. We shouldn't be looking at the consequences of abortion to try to ground our rejection of it. Instead, we should be looking at abortion itself focusing on the moral wrong that it is in and of itself because it kills a whole, complete, distinct human being.
Abortion, the painful killing of an innocent human being. And, of course, again, ideas have consequences. That's why we have this philosopher series. It's not just an idea, no harm, no foul. Ideas have consequences in the real world. This article underscores that as few articles that I've ever seen. I really appreciate your work, Bob Perry. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it.
One more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal: in-depth feature articles, book reviews, practical evangelism tips, thought-provoking opinion pieces. In this article alone, you're going to learn why you should not use bad arguments, because the bad arguments can be turned back on you. You want to make sure that you're not just talking about outcomes. As Christians, we're dealing with moral imperatives. The Christian Research Journal, it will teach you discernment skills. And boy, do we need discernment skills, the ability to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, and always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect.